No.
So I'm Cindy Dean. This is Ken or Bud or Buddy, depending on when you met him in life. Yeah. But for those of you we haven't met, we went to church here and moved to Kentucky 3 years ago, where Ken went to seminary. And 6 years ago, we started a ministry in Arizona on the east side of the Grand Canyon. There's a mesa above the church where we go, and it's called Bottaway Mesa. So we typically just call it Bottaway. But when we go to Bottaway, we minister to Native American Navajo children and adults. We go usually in the summer and minister to the kids through VBS. And then the winter, we go and take coats and blankets and food and provisions for the cold winters. So in this picture, it's part of our team. This is when we hiked the Mesa. This year we had, you can go to the next one, we had 19 workers this year, which was more than we've had in the past, and they started from age 5 and up, and it was just a fabulous year of unity. There was such a sweet presence and a sweet spirit of everybody who was there to work. From this congregation, we feel like we're still sponsored, so from you guys, and we go with your blessing and your love and your prayers and your contributions, and we appreciate that very greatly. And so as we talk about this and as we tell the story of Bottaway, we want you guys to remember that you're part of this story. God is part of this story. This is everyone's story collectively. And then I think in one of these pictures, oh, you can see Rosemary in one of those, but Rosemary and Brian Bloom went with us, and we can go to the next slide. Oh, here are games. It was I said 110 earlier. I think that was a little fudge, but it was like 108 or something the first day, and then it cooled off to like a nice 95.
It was hot.
It was hot, but it was dry, so you couldn't feel it because we're from Kentucky and it's humid, so it didn't bug us, but it was pretty hot. And the kids out there, so they did a water balloon war, kind of a toss might not be the right word. One day, and so they cooled off, and that was a blast to see that and see them working together and uniting together in sports. And then on our next slide, we have the music and lesson. Ken did the Bible lesson every day. We also did small groups after that. When Ken spoke this VBS, he spoke about people kind of on the fringes that Jesus went out to and cared for and ministered to. So he talked about Zacchaeus and the woman at the well and about Jesus bringing the little children unto him. So I think this picture is actually the younger kids of VBS joining him as he talked about the little children coming to Christ. And then we also, for the first time this year, had a live musician with us on our team. So she brought her ukulele, and it was wonderful because everybody just got engaged a little on a different level than they have in the past. So we did music, traditional BIBLE songs at VBS, and we also did some worship on Sunday for the main congregation. And I think our next slide has crafts, which is Rosemary Bloom. If you guys know her, she's like the craft queen. So she brings her giant box of crafts and just wows everybody with her abilities. And then Brian is our faithful lunch provider. So we provide lunch for the kids every day. Many of them may or may not have eaten breakfast or within the last couple days. So it's a great opportunity to share the food with them and congregate with them and develop relationships as we eat and do crafts. It's a very, very casual VBS where we kids rotate from crafts to games, back to crafts, and we just spend time getting to know them, developing the relationships every year. And then I think on our next slide we have, okay, so this is Nosh. Nosh is on the left in the sleeveless. He's a guy, and then his sister Cheyenne. And 6 years ago, Nosh was very difficult. He was the one kid that stood out to me as, like, this is the hardest kid at VBS. And he would chase me with lizards. And I would, like, look at some of the Native women and say, can you do something with this kid? And so 6 years later, flash forward, he ran out of his house so excited to see us, gave Ken a great big hug, gave me a great big hug. And that started this great week of Nosh being with us at every moment. He was kind of like our second helper. He spent the night with us. He's like, can we spend the night? And just spent the night in the church, threw a sleeping bag down, and just wanted to be with us. And Tuesday, he came up to me and gave me a great big hug and said, I'm really happy and I'm really sad all at the same time because I know I'm here with you now and I know that you're leaving. Mm-hmm. And that is just the transformation in his life and Cheyenne's life is why we're there. Sometimes we don't see it in the week that we're there or even in the next year or two, but to see these people open up to us and see the love that they're willing to accept from us and willing to give to us is just a beautiful thing to see God working in their lives.
Yep.
And then I have a couple helpers. There are three kids pictured in this. They're all siblings, and then there are four others that we've worked with in the past couple years. The one on the top, Savannah, and then Bobby and Ashki on the bottom. I'll have the guys read first.
Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, I know that I love you. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.
Oh, I messed up when I did it. There's one more part where, again, he says, then feed my sheep. And so when we first went to Bottaway, it was kind of difficult. We didn't know what we were doing. It was very unknown. And as we prayed about it, I just felt the sense of, I would say, God, is this the right thing? And he would say, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. And this is a very agricultural area, and they have a lot of sheep and lambs. So it's just a beautiful picture to me of God asking us to serve in this way and to feed them God's word and to love on them and care for them. And then the next one.
What a man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 religious persons or righteous persons who need no repentance.
Good.
So when we got there this week, we found out within a few minutes of trying to pick up kids. We actually go to the kids and pick them all up and bring them to the church. Most don't have transportation. So as we were out trying to pick up kids, we noticed there were vans out also picking up kids, and we realized we were one of four VBSs on this 30-mile stretch, which is a wonderful thing in one sense that all these children were being ministered to, the name of God was being proclaimed and praised. But in the other sense, we were like, well, what's happening to our kids? And we just started praying about it and realized that God wanted us to go to the kids on the fringes, the one sheep that was lost, the one that was on the outside, not the ones that always went to church or the ones right on the road with a nicer looking house. So God led us to some kids that had actually been overlooked. Our VBS started a little bit later, and we were picking up the kids that nobody else picked up. So that was a great experience to be able to, you know, what we thought was a discouragement was actually a wonderful thing to be able to bring kind of the least of these to church. And then these guys are, we have been getting these kids from 45 minutes away for 6 years and developing a relationship with them. And their lives are very difficult lives. They're lives that most adults can't really comprehend what they've been through. But the relationships we've built with them, and they wouldn't look at, it was years before they'd look at us in the eye or really start to trust us or really take any kindness from us. Mm-hmm. So to see their transformation as well has been really fabulous. And Bobby, the one in the pink, as we were leaving, said, can we please go to Kentucky with you? And that just melts your heart. But it's just such a privilege and an honor to be a part of this ministry, and we thank all of you guys for being a part of it as well.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
So the kids in that last slide, I don't know, some of you were here early on in the year we received this word from God to go to this place. I had never experienced God in that way before, but to actually respond to this vision he gave and find that there was indeed a church in this place that he revealed in a dream that was praying for help. And when we got there, and it was like so amazing, we just asked, I was the skeptic, and they said, we've been praying for help. And I'm thinking, yeah, you saw my car. How much money do you want? That's really cold-hearted kin here. And they said, we just are have a soft, we don't have children coming. Their hearts were soft for the kids in the area. And we just need to know how to reach the children. And I think, you know, there I am, put to shame. They don't want anything from me. They want Jesus in the hearts of their children. And it was just God all around. It was God that took us there. It was God revealing us what he had going on there. It was God 100%. Nothing we could ever, no program we could ever write could make this story up. And so then the second trip, I picked up Granny. I remember this so vividly, praying. I was all by myself this time, and so I could do a little more, little riskier things without my kids in the car, and just praying all day, like, God, use me, God, use me. And I'm sure many of you have heard this story, but just as I was entering into the Navajo Nation in this trip, I see this intoxicated Navajo woman sitting there rocking back and forth. And I think, ugh, that's too bad. And I get my Coke, and I'm going to get in my car and go on. And God's like, hello, you know, oh, okay. And so, you know, he has to just punch me to get me to say yes to him. And I go back out of the store, and she's still there. I said, God, if she's still there, I'll talk to her when I get out, but I don't know what you want me to do. And she's still there. And so I walk by her and go to my car, and I'm like, well, if she gets up and starts walking over to me, I guess I'll talk to her. And here she comes, you know. And it's just amazing. But she's the granny of the children who live in this trailer who we go pick up. And that was our first year of doing VBS. She's the one who, she was like the seeds. She provided the kids. And we drive 45 minutes down there. Hideously poor situation. Amazing. They've since, we've known these kids now 6 years. They've since been taken away from their mom. And she's got addiction issues. And we're not sure that there hasn't been like really big time dysfunctional problems with the girls and mom's drug dealers. And so all we can do is go there and pray, God, Lord, love these kids. Let us love these kids. This time we went down. We drove up to the little hut they're living in. The door's wide open. There's junk laying everywhere. Walk in, and I think it's abandoned. It looks totally empty. And there's kids strewn around on the floor. No adults. And I say, hey, kids, let's go to Vacation Bible School. And they all kind of wake up, and they haven't eaten. They're the kids that walk around. It's like a little slum area in Navajo and get food from others. And mom's somewhere else. Grandma's not doing good things. And the kids that are left are the ones that fled. They escaped CPS. CPS had just been there, and they all ran. And so one was with an uncle because CPS placed him. Another one, I don't know where she was. But anyway, we got three of them, and we got them for the day, and we loved them. And it's tough. I mean, it's like God sent us to these kids who need him. They don't need us. They need him. And thankfully, God is able to use us, and it's just transformational for us as well. It softens our hearts. We really can only do these things because of you. And you have been the most generous church. You've heard us. You've given. You've inspired. We get notes, wonderful, encouraging notes. We get money. It helps. It all is such an encouragement to us. And this ministry is only possible through your gifts. So I am not asking for money. I'm praising God for the money you've already provided. I'm so very thankful that we were able to buy plane tickets to to spend time among the Navajo, to put on a VBS and give them food they haven't seen in forever. They steal food all the time, and it's wonderful, because we now know they steal it to take it home to give to others. And at first, I was getting them in trouble for pockets full of Doritos, and now I think, have at it. Take all you want. Because we know that they're not stealing for themselves. They're just looking out for those that weren't able to make the car ride to VBS. Anyway, thank you so much. You know, another thing that you have supported is when I graduated seminary in December, I went right to work for a nonprofit called Word Made Flesh, and I'm learning the ropes there about how nonprofits work. Wouldn't you know, Word Made Flesh approached me and asked if I could come and help rebuild. They've been having some financial difficulties in the stateside office, but it's a 25-year-old ministry. It's robust. There's 12 communities around the world, and they do exactly what God has given us. They go out into the most vulnerable of the world's poor and seek to tell them about Jesus and to live Jesus among them. They go out, and we just met the couple who started the Bolivia ministry. They went to Bolivia, went to El Alto, this town they felt called to, and they started asking around, where do white people not go? And they went into bars and asked people this and went into bad parts of town. And they heard that there was this red light district and it was in the slum and you wouldn't go there if you value your life. So they start prayer walks in that slum and they start asking God to bless them in their efforts. And they risk their lives literally in order to love those who are otherwise untouched. The same thing Word Made Flesh has done in India and Peru and other places of the world where there's just vulnerable people. Rescuing child soldiers in Sierra Leone. There's a huge community there. And yet the stateside office can't get their act together. They just, over the years, have just not been good stewards. And so I'm there. I'm learning. There's people at the margins everywhere. And yet we're trying to make the support that they receive out in the field strong. We want to receive those funds, like Tim's talking about, and do it accurately and send those wires out so that they're funded, pray for our communities, and it's been a phenomenal experience. It's been tough, really tough. We're all volunteers. We're all support raisers. I've received one paycheck in 8 months. Thank you, Lord. we do have 200 missionaries around the world. The other thing is the North American Baptist Church called and asked if I'd help teach Central European missionaries how to fundraise. And I think, well, I need to learn myself, so let's go. And so that was awesome. And those missionaries are Central Europeans who are ministering to the Roma, or we know them as gypsies, populations throughout Central Europe. And wouldn't you know that the Roma people are living on the fringes. They're the outcasts. They're oppressed. They're experiencing perpetual poverty and all that means. All the implications of living like that, huge problems in their communities, living literally in little villages or, encampments on the edges of town. But we were able to share stories, like this is where Jesus is. This is where Jesus is having a revival. The Holy Spirit is working among these people because, honestly, the white people are so rich and independent. They don't even need Jesus. I mean, of course we do, but they think they don't. The white Europeans and the white Americans are so arrogant that many times the churches are just dead. They're just these places where worship might happen infrequently, but the Jesus is actually meeting needs and the Holy Spirit is actually filling people that are otherwise just unlovable. So what a neat experience that was. God ordained that whole thing. I came back so encouraged and better educated about what missions looks like all around the world. Jesus is the same. We're all different, but Jesus is working, and I'm so thankful for that. I don't want to go on. I've got pages and pages, and I'd love to tell you about it. But when we go to the Navajo Nation, we were completely inexperienced. I had spent 20 years in a corporate finance role, no idea what I was doing. I just knew God was calling us there. And we changed. We sold everything. We moved to Kentucky to go to seminary. We started making these trips to the Navajo Nation. And when you don't work for over 3 years, it's actually just at 3 years, you really need God to provide. I mean, I was depending on a biweekly paycheck, and I really needed to trust God to provide for us. And he's done it. And he's done it through Pioneer Bible Church. I mean, truly, I can't believe when I'm on my knees and praying to God for provision, we've never been late on rent. It's just amazing. You know, we sold a house, and I never thought I'd have to worry about being late on rent. But those are concerns. You know, tuition, it was paid. And that was a big bill. And God provided every step of the way, and much of that provision came from Pioneer Bible Church. So I just want you to know that we pray that we are good stewards with what you bless us with. We are learning to live differently. We're learning to live gratefully and actually better relate with our friends on the Navajo Nation. It's awesome. We really couldn't afford to rent a car this time. Usually we rent a big something or take our Suburban or whatever to pick up kids, and this time we couldn't do it. And you know, we could. God is good. We come to find out we received another check after we already left, and it was amazing. But so the locals gave us this old car without air conditioning, and the windows wouldn't go down, and I'm driving it, and we're sweating to death, and just praising God. Like, Lord, I've got wheels. This is awesome. So it's just different, but it's good, and we're learning, and we're changing, and we're just asking God to completely transform us into his servants, no matter where we are, that we can serve him. I can serve him in a corporate environment, or I can serve him among the poorest of the poor in Central Europe. That's the prayer. And you have all helped us with this transition, and you are God's servants right here. You're emulating the generosity of Jesus, and you're doing it to us, and I can only thank you. I think that's about all. I can do more if you want, but it looks like it's pretty late.
Let's pray for you.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to ask if a few of you would pray for Bud and Cindy and your family. And I'm going to stand over here, and your family could come back up. But just pray for them, okay? Pray that God will put you up. We have a video. You're going to show us the video.
Yeah.
Okay? All right.
Let's just pray.
Good. Bill, you want to come up? Anybody else wants to come up? Come on up. And we'll just pray for Bud, Cindy.
That'd be great. Thank you. Oh, yeah. One thing. Grace, our fourth child, the oldest one, is not here. She's in Alabama, and she's completed her first year of school at Asbury University, and she's doing a master's in social work degree. She has a heart for the Navajo. She hopes to use her education there, but this summer she's in Selma, Alabama, and she's teaching, tutoring kids who are just coming out of juvenile hall or have one or more parents in prison and preparing them for the upcoming school year. So her summer internship, she's living in Selma, working there with a group of college students, just trying to get these kids ready for school. So you can pray for her, too.
What's the white population in Selma?
I'm not sure. It's not much. Yeah.
Let's pray for these. Again, Lord, we just want to lift them to you. We love them. We thank you for them. We pray for strength and provision, for grace, for encouragement. Lord, many of us are going to pray. Others pray for them.
Lord, I ask that you would continue to guide them in all that they have to think about, whether it's missionary work, just normal day-to-day stuff. Lord, I just ask that you would continue to show them that you're always there for them, 24/7. Mm-hmm. You don't take time out for breaks. You just help them to remember that. Thank you for them choosing to be the word in flesh. So
their example. Help us to be examples to others. Mm-hmm. The world may know you.
That's God. Yes.
Lord, I just thank you for the team's joy and how they can just walk into the situation and trust in you. Lord, I just pray that you'll just walk with them and always help them know that you're right beside them, even the most trying times. Mm-hmm. Lord, I just pray your blessing on them. Obviously, you've blessed them a lot already, Lord. I thank you for their ministry.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Father, I pray that you would
protect
them. Mm-hmm.
Yes, God.
Lord, I pray for Bottaway. I pray, Lord, for Pastor Billy and for Joyce. Just ask you, Lord, to continue to build their passion for the children in the area. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the Bloom family and others who have gone, this other church who have joined them. And Lord, we are on a mission that you've called us to. God, help us to be faithful to serve you using the gifts that we have and the strength that we have. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to maintain the relationships within the body,
yes, Lord,
with one another, that we could work as a unified team. Jesus, bless Bud and Cindy and their family,
yes,
as they'll soon return back to Kentucky.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we commit ourselves to you. And Lord, help us now to go out and serve you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
God bless you. Have a safe and wonderful
4th of July weekend.